All right, I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to be honest. Who in here would be considered by somebody they know as a green thumb? Raise your hands if you're a green thumb. Identify yourself. I see some hands around here. Yeah, it's fun to grow stuff, isn't it? You know, you kind of start off. Who in here is really good and can start off with a seed? I don't know. Yeah? That's really impressive. Most time it's like we buy them like already started. You know, they've already got the fertilizer and stuff in there. And well, I've tried to grow a lot of things in my life, and most of the time it doesn't go as planned. So if anybody ever tells you, this is, you can put this down, just because someone's from the country, it doesn't mean they can grow stuff. If you start having trouble with your begonias, don't call Begu, okay? You call the people who raise their hands. Now, if you want to call somebody for dinner, 850-238-6853. And I will be sure to be there. But if it comes to growing things, I'm not your man. I know a lot about it. I just, for some reason, it just doesn't work for me. I don't know what the deal of is. But when it comes to raising kids, things don't always go as planned either, do they? For those of you who have raised kids. When the first baby's born, man, we got all these plans and we've got this, man, we've got it charted out and the way it's going to go. And I think it's at about the third minute or so when it generally goes awry. I remember when my oldest was born, and then I was so excited, and then all of a sudden it was like, holy cow, there's a lot involved in this. Praise God for Emily, because she was much more prepared and gifted in those areas. And but raising kids can be really challenging in the culture and in the day we live in. It seems like it's really compounding. You know, we had issues in our generation, all of us did, but whatever issues that were there, more and more and more just seem to keep coming up. So I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning and stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word. And I want to preach this morning out of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now I want to give you a warning. 3 weeks ago I preached 23 minutes on one verse. You get four verses today. Just kidding, just kidding. So I want to talk to you about raising kids, grandkids, and tomatoes. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You may be seated. Yesterday morning, I was at my boys' basketball games. They play upward basketball over at Trinity Baptist Church. And over the years, I've developed a friendship with a lot of the people at Trinity. And one of the men asked me, hey, when are you preaching? I'm preaching tomorrow. He's like, what are you preaching on? And when I told him I was preaching on, he kind of gave me this funny look. And he says, what in the world do raising kids and tomatoes have in common? I said, well, that's a good question. I said, I figured I'm going to get a little bit of that myself this week, whether it's not verbalized, and I said, the truth is there's a lot if you've ever raised tomatoes. And the first thing is, just like tomatoes, kids need stuff poured into them. Nutrients, water for hydration, whatever it is. And one thing no one wants that raises tomatoes or any other kind of vegetable or fruit is wilted or malnourished plants. And our kids need to be spiritually and physically nourished and hydrated as well. You know, if we aren't hydrating our kids with the Word of God, they're not going to be all that God wants them to be. We have to constantly pour into our kids wisdom from God's Word, truths from God's Word, to help them to be the healthy kid that God would have them to be, to ultimately grow up to be the healthy adult that they need to be. And so we need to hydrate them with the Word of God and with love. We need to pour love into our kids, because if we're only pouring the Word of God, but we're not really nourishing them with love and spending time with them, it isn't going to be it's not going to be effective. It's just not going to be. Our kids need to see it in our lives. And so as parents, I think about our church motto, come, drink, live. As parents, sometimes we got to go and just sort of pour. You know, we got to pour love onto them. We've got to pour the Word of God into them, because sometimes kids, they're not really, especially when you get to teenage years, I'm not real interested in going to church. Don't raise your hands, but you know what I'm talking about. There sometimes are those moments where they want to rebel. And we have to lovingly let them know, well, it's not an option. They're going to make it happen. And if you don't, there are going to be some consequences. Whatever that may be in your home is different than somebody else. But just as the sun, the elements beat on our tomato plants, our culture and the challenges of life do the same exact thing to our kids. It is so tough these days with all the discouragement out there, the unrealistic standards that kids are having to face, things that kids shouldn't be exposed to. I don't want to get too detailed here, but I remember when I was a kid, it was almost impossible to see a lot of the things you see as a kid today. You had to really somehow be in the wrong place. But now, it's just the regular. It's just on billboards. It's on TV. You're standing in line at the grocery store, wherever. Kids are bombarded with what's wrong. They're bombarded with sin. And so it's a tough world we live in to raise kids these days and for kids to grow. And so if we're not nourishing them and they're not getting nourished by their parents, it's a real tough road to hoe. I want to thank our student and our children workers right now, because as a parent, when my kids come to Sunday school, to children's church, and they come home talking about what they learned and they're excited about it, and they're telling stories, what's happening isn't they're just getting more. You are supporting what we're trying to do. And if you are not serving in children's or student ministry or wherever, and you have a heart for that, get involved. Because I can speak for Marianne, I know that she is always welcome and thankful for good workers. Because it's a very, very important ministry. So I hope that you know my appreciation as a parent for the difference you make in my kids' lives. I know, especially my little ones here lately, they come home, they're always, hey, you know what we learned? Da-da-da, and they're just rattling around. I'm like, man, they're excited about God. They're excited about church. And we need more of that. As parents, sometimes, though, we can get frustrated, can't we, with our kids? Not picking up their stuff or, you know, not doing their homework or getting bad grades when you know they could have done better. And as parents, we have to really be careful not to let our frustration come across a little too hard. I've been guilty of that before, because it is very easy to suck the joy out of a kid if we're too hard or we constantly ride them. And you've seen the sports venues with kids. Sometimes parents, it gets elevated to something it shouldn't be and in other places. I want you to notice here that Paul addresses the fathers in verse 4 specifically. Not that moms can't hurt kids or they can't discourage them, but as dads sometimes we tend to be a little harder. But also I believe it's because the father is the leader of the home and he's ultimately responsible and accountable as the leader of the home. Colossians 3:21 in the Living Bible says this, "Fathers, don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying." Any dads in here that are competitive? Anybody besides me? I'm crazy competitive, and I'm always having to check myself. And I did really good yesterday. I was sitting on the front row of Cade and Will's basketball game, and Will was doing a really good job. Is he in here? No, he's not? Okay. He was doing really, really good. And he just kind of has a knack for the game. I don't really have a knack for anything, but he has a knack for the game. And I was watching him and just sent things that he just knew are just natural for him. He was just making little simple mistakes. And I'm like, okay, Ryan, just encourage him. So I was like, hey, buddy, it's all right. You'll get it. You know, and he looked back and go, and I was like, you know, and I wanted to go, look, your potential is crazy. Don't let that kid come around the right. Get over, you know. But sometimes we don't need to correct, we just need to encourage. And as God's people, we need to really sense the Spirit of God's direction in our life, when to speak in, when not to speak in, what to say. I don't always get that right, and I know you don't either, but we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God that when we don't get it right, we go back and make it right. You know, that's so important in our walk with the Lord, isn't it? Is we're not going to get it right a lot of times. But it's when God shows us we didn't get it right to go and make it right. So don't set up unrealistic expectations or overcorrecting, because it can really bruise a kid emotionally. My dad had a nice garden in our backyard when I was a kid. And he can grow anything, it seems like, you know. And but I remember one day we were out there in the garden and we were picking all kinds of stuff. And there were these tomatoes. And they were really big old goodens. Not good old biggins, but big old goodens. And we were picking the tomatoes and we were coming back up the steps. And I dropped one of them. And when I picked it up, it had this big indention, a bruise on the tomato. Y'all ever experienced that? You bruise your tomatoes. I remember we go to the grocery store. My mom would go through, sift the tomatoes. I'm like, what are you doing? They're all orange. She goes, I don't want bruised ones. She didn't want bruised tomatoes. And kids, like tomatoes, can be sensitive. They can bruise easy. So be gentle not to discourage. It's very important. So Paul not only tells us what not to do, what not to stir up, don't stir up anger. He kind of transitions. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring them up in a certain way. What I want you to bring them up in is by pouring God into them. God needs to be the center of our home. I think a lot of times, if we're honest, there are moments or maybe there have been periods or times in your life where you kind of tried to squeeze Jesus into your life, right? But God wants it to where our lives are being revolving around the Lord. Our homes need to revolve around the Lord. That's how we effectively do what he talks about here. That's how we bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. So the first part, what to do, is give instruction. That's the telling part. We do, as a whole, pretty good at that sometimes, don't we? We tell our kids what to do. You need to do this, you need to do that. But there's also another part, okay? There's another part. We're going to get to that in a minute. But in the telling part, we teach them the Word of God, and we give them advice as we go through life. It's something we just do through life. A lot of times I spend time with my kids, whether it's out on the fishing boat, on the golf course, in the yard, wherever, talking about God, talking about godly wisdom and things in life. Maybe some of you, discussions when you're driving down the road at the dinner table. You talk about Sunday school class or what the preacher preached after church at lunch. You talk about the Word as it relates to what's going on in the culture. We do that a lot. Anybody else do that? You're sitting around, you watch TV, and you just have these God conversations. They just kind of naturally happen. God wants us to do that stuff, to interject God and to bring God in the conversations. So there's a lot of ways that we can bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Well, not only instruct, but the second part is to train. That's the showing part, which is equally critical. We have to train them to do right because from the very beginning, they're good at doing wrong. Kids are born sinners. No one says, man, I'm going to have to really work hard to train my kid to do wrong. They're born going that way. We have to train them to do the right things. I find that babies are a lot like new golfers. Anybody else in here besides me ever try to play golf? You got a bunch of them in here? From the moment you start out, the ball does not go in the right direction. Most of the time, it's going that way. You're like, far, you look out. You know, the ball seems to always start off going in the wrong direction. My oldest daughter is on the Apopka girls golf team, and hey, she made her first birdie this week in her conference championship. Good job there, Hannah. She had never made a par in a tournament, and so she starts off making a birdie before she ever made a par. If you know anything about golf, birdies are harder to make than pars, so she just kind of bypassed the pars. I'm like, how does that happen? But anyway, so weird things happen in my family all the time. But I remember when she first started to want to play golf, and I'm having to work with her on her chipping and her putting and her tee shots and her irons, and I knew it was going to be a laborious process because I remember when I went through it when I first started golf. And all of a sudden, you know, through the training and the instruction, the ball flight starts to look a little better. The direction gets a little better. The scores get a little bit better. And in life, as we're growing our kids and we're raising them, you will find that over time, the more you pour into them, the more love that you implant in them, you spend time with them, you begin to see things. And you're like, you know what? As frustrating as this has been, God, I'm starting to see some fruit. And so, starting off golf, somewhat similar to raising kids. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. It's an intentional effort that we have to make. We have to show them along with telling them. What we say is louder, or what we do is louder than what we say, isn't it? So training, set example. Let's talk about in our spiritual life as parents. I want my kids, above all things, to be devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Yes, I want them to have a healthy marriage. I want them to have healthy children. I'm talking about spiritually healthy. I want them to be productive citizens in our culture, in our society, and to do all those things that are esteemed as positive. But above all things, I want them to be a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ. And I can say that, and I can tell them I want that, and I can tell them what to do, but the most powerful thing that I can do is show it to them. The most powerful thing that you can do is show it to them. Our kids need to see us being generous. They need to see us being kind and affectionate to our spouse. I appreciated what Billy Chatlow said a little while ago. His kids are here. My kids are here. They're hearing from their church leaders, not just certain church leaders, but time and time again, people up here giving testimony about how God has convicted them to do something, to be generous givers and to be faithful givers and to forsake sometimes. Because here's the deal. Here's the battle sometimes. If I am a faithful tither and a faithful giver, that means I can't have this house. I have to live in this house. I can't have this car. I have to have that car. Isn't that the way of the world, though? It's all about the stuff. But with God, it's not about the stuff. It's about the stuff that matters the most. And so when Billy comes up here and he talks about that, his kids are seeing their dad being accountable for the church, right? For me as a pastor, the things I'm saying, my kids are seeing that and hearing that, and it puts a little bit of pressure because I got to make it happen, don't I? That's what's great about accountability. Joining a church, being a member, going through the new class, doing the covenant, getting involved, committing to serving. Because where there's a commitment, now there's accountability, and we all need accountability. It's really, really important. Our kids need to see us being submissive to our authority. You know, in God's word, before it talks about children, obey your parents, for this is right, it says, wives, submit to your husband and Lord for all things. Moms, not coming down on you because I don't know any of you aren't doing this. It's just in God's word, so I got to say it. If your husband is asking you to do something and you don't do it and you tell your kids to do something and they don't do it, that's not a good message. Because what we're teaching them is that it's okay for me to not follow the lead that God has put in my life, but you need to. When we tell our kids to treat people nice, but they don't see us dads treating their mom nice, that's not a good message it sends. There's got to be consistency with what we say. Our kids need to see us sharing our faith. Our kids need to see us walk upright. A young man that used to live in the community where we used to live over in the Florida Panhandle, he went to youth camp with us one year. I don't think his church had a youth camp. And he and I got pretty close, nice kid. And he just started crying about some stuff, and we were talking, and he glorily convicted me about some things, and he just felt like opening up. And he goes, Dad, or he goes, Pastor Ryan, he goes, my dad, man, I haven't seen at home what I hear in church. He says, my dad's a deacon, but you don't know what my dad does. You know how my, and what I heard from this kid is that, man, he's been hearing and hearing and hearing, but maybe for the first time he came to this camp, he saw something that was really real. Our kids need to see what's really real in the home, amen? They need to see the real stuff in the home. We make a committed effort to worship, to come and serve with our church family and put this as a priority over activities and hobbies. It teaches our kids what to make a priority. I found as a youth pastor over the years is that kids usually grow up to set the bar where their parents did or a little bit lower. It's very, very rare that a kid takes the bar to another level. The majority of the time, it's where you set the bar or it ends up a little bit lower. And so if we as parents go to church semi-regular, don't serve much, odds are your kids are going to grow up to hardly be involved because the subtle message you sent is it's really optional. It's really not super important. I was reading an article not too long ago, and another church member last week sent me an article about the percentage or the high percentage of teenagers when they hit 18, they leave the church and never come back. There's a multitude of reasons why that happens. But I hope the reason isn't because, for me, my kids didn't see the real thing. We need to do our part. And as parents, we have to be careful not to let the beach and the ball become, as some people say, Baal. You know what Baal is, right? Baal is the false god, the idol worship that cultures live in the Old Testament. Sometimes we can let the things of the world become more important than God. So don't let the ball or the beach or the boat or whatever you throw in there become Baal. Be sure to set the right priorities in place. Training a child also means to teach them to show respect. We kind of got a problem with that a lot of times these days, don't we? There's a lot of lack of respect out there. I remember when I was little, my mom and dad, it was always, yes, ma'am. Listen, the next time Mr. Brubeck asks you a question, you say yes, sir, or no, sir, depending on what he says. What it did is it taught me respect. It wasn't about the words. It was about respect. Notice that Paul addresses children directly in this passage. He knew that the scripture was going to be read in the whole congregation. So you got kids, moms, dad, everybody there as the letter comes to the church in Ephesus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. It's right because God said so. That's what makes it right. So our kids, you ever have your kids go, why do I have to do it? Because I said so. As your authority, that's all you need. I remember my mom and dad saying that to me, and at first, I'm like, that's not a good reason. It is a good reason, because God has placed the parents over the children as their authority. It would be like, God saying something, why? All that we need to know is because God said so. That's why we go to his word, to know what he says, because what he says is so. It's true. It's right. As parents, we may, as authority, tell our parents, kids, something that's wrong, but they're still called on to honor us because God said so. And so we always have to remember it is God who says so, and because he says so, we need to do so. So let's do so. Let's do what God has called us to do. 2 Timothy 3:1-2, but know this, difficult times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Disobedience of children is a sign of a deteriorating culture in the last days. So let's do our part. And I know as grandparents and parents, sometimes we're going to get resistance. How about this one? That's not fair. Man, I guarantee you, if all of us in here had a $5 bill for every time we heard that, we could go to Ruth's Chris after church today. You with me? Can I get an amen? I've never been there, but I heard it's good. But when someone says life isn't fair, I'm not remember who said it, but someone said it where? Well, fair is where you get cotton candy and ride Ferris wheels, and we ain't interested in fair. We just got to get it done. You know, life isn't going to be fun all the time. How about this one? I'm bored. Man, there are repetitious terms that are just going from culture, I mean, from generation to generation and generation and generation. I remember when I said that, my mom was like, you're bored. I'll give you something to do. I learned not to say that anymore. This was like, you're bored. Get your fanny outside and go climb a tree or do something. Or guess what? You want to help me wash dishes? You want to rake the yard? I'm good. You know, but it's okay. Kids sometimes are not going to have to be entertained all the time. When we train them to have a work ethic. Boy, we're hurting in that area these days. It's bad. I'm always telling my kids, you grow up, God wants you to be a hard worker. Be a hard worker. I try to work hard. My wife works hard, trying to set that example and make them do some work. Give them chores, some responsibility. Because it helps them for when they get out into the world on their own. All three of my boys, they're 12, 8, and 5. Reed has been helping me a lot with the grass the last couple years, and I got to give him credit. He's a pretty good little grass mower. Will, who's 8, this past year, he and Cade, my 5-year-old, I took them outside, and obviously I turned them loose at different levels. But I let Will, I said, okay, here's the way it is, buddy. And he actually cranked the mower on his own. I was like, wow. So he cranked it up, and he was mowing. I was trying to help him to understand how you make straight rows. It's not just mow, and you just kind of, you know. So we got him after about 3 rows. He was on it. So I let him go a little bit, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'll let him go for a while. And then I brought my 5-year-old out there a few weeks later, Cade. Now, he's like this, trying to hold a mower. And so here I am, I'm trying to straddle him while he's, I didn't go too many rows because I wasn't going to be able to hold out. But I want him to understand, this is your future one day. This is your world. And we're going to kind of get moving here. We're going to get a little early training towards your future, hopefully short-term future. But as you get older, you're going to have your own yard, and you're going to get to keep doing it or whatever. And so teaching them responsibilities. Little allowance isn't bad either. Helps them to earn some things, have some ownership. Little appreciation for stuff goes a long way, doesn't it? I always had to have some skin in the game as a kid. My dad is a man of few words, but when he spoke, he said it one time, and he made it very clear. My dad is just a kind-hearted man. He is. But when it was time to do business, we're going to do business. And my dad told me when I was 15 years old, next year you're going to be 16. You're probably going to want a car, right? Yes, sir. He's like, well, let me tell you how getting a car works. He goes, I'll match whatever you save, but you get to pay the insurance and you get to pay for the gas. I'm like, well, what's insurance, Dad? He goes, glad you asked. So he explained, he goes, and this is the way your insurance can be cheaper. If you get a 3.0 GPA, you get a good student discount. What do you think about that? So I'm like thinking, man, okay, so if I do better in school, I save money. I'm connecting the dots. So Dad was helping me to connect the dots, but he was also building things into me that would help me throughout life. And as parents, it's good to do that. Let your kids have some skin in the game. It's important. It teaches them to work hard, value. If they want a phone, make them earn it. I didn't have a cell phone when I was a kid. I made it. I'm here. Most of you out here looks like you didn't have one either. They're going to be okay, all right? If they want one, fine. You pay for it. It's the way it works. So there you go. You know, if we give, we're going to start to see a pattern as they get older, right? They're going to be 45 years old at home playing Xbox. We don't want that. That's not what God has designed. The entitled attitudes are in abundance these days. Where's Mr. Billy Austin? There he is, right? Raise your hand, Dr. Billy Austin. If you don't know that man, you're missing out. That guy is awesome. He had something for me about a month ago or two. It was a book. He said, I want to give you this book. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And I looked at the front of it. It says, Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World. I read that book the last couple weeks. That was a great book, Doc. Thank you for passing that along. If you like to read, I want to encourage you to read that book, Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World. Here's one quote out of there that really hit home, and these are the two extremes, but we see it played out. When we have nothing, we are thankful for everything. And when we have everything, we're thankful for nothing. We moved to here from one of the poorer areas in our state. Very poor. Where this would be considered the Sweetwater area as probably a little bit on the other end of the spectrum. Is that a fair statement? And I noticed that the kids there are a little bit different than the kids here as a whole. Not all of them. But there, if you said, hey, listen, we're going to have pizza this coming week at church, they would have dropped everything. Man, ran through the walls to get there. Well, in this part of the world area, the Longwood, Sweetwater area, it takes a little bit more to create that kind of excitement. And a lot of it is because we have a lot more. We have so, so much. And so we have to help our kids to remain grateful. Now, grandparents, I'm going to go soft on you today. I'm not going to step on your toes. I'm not going to even clip your nails. I'm just going to lovingly paint them. When we send our kids to your house, don't give them everything they want and tell them, oh, yeah, your dad was a rascal when he was horrible. He did all these bad things. They're going to come home. Dad, you did it too. You know, and hey, grandma lets us. It's good. It's good as grandparents spend time and love on them. But sometimes it goes a little too far. How about Christmas morning? Man, they're like 2 years old and they got 40 presents. By the time they're six, they're unwrapping. Is this all there is? You know, is there any more hidden back there in the back room? You know, be sure not to go overboard. Second, like tomatoes, kids need attention and care. We got any plant talkers in here? Y'all talk to your plants. Where's Carol Thompson? Is she here? There she is. Do you talk to your plants? I knew you were quality. What was that, Billy? Joe? Amen. If you've ever been over to Billy Joe and Carol's house, man, it's like going to a nursery. There's stuff growing everywhere. And they say that talking to plants helps them. We know why. It's because it gives them that thick carbon dioxide love. They're one, right? And they're just kind of soaking it in. Billy Joe, you like her thick carbon dioxide love. When it comes to raising kids, words of affirmation are so beneficial. These days, if they have a phone, take advantage of it. Send them texts. Hey, I just want to tell you I love you. Man, hope you have a great day. Whatever. Pouring in words of affirmation. I'm a proud dad. I am. I want my kids to know how proud I am of them. I get on them a lot, so I want them to know how proud of them I am a lot. There's got to be a healthy balance. You know, we got to instruct them and push them and train them. But as they're trying, we've got to build them up. Encourage them for the things they do well. I found that when you encourage someone for what they're doing well, and it's been reality in my life, they want to do it more. They want to do it more. We push them. And so let's be sure that we give a healthy balance. Here's an example. I was at Walmart. I'm at Walmart a lot. Okay, I'm at Walmart in the fishing and hunting goods department a lot. All the guys there are like family. There's Don, and there's Gary. Victor's no longer there, but there's Angel. We're tight. I mean, we're tight, okay? We're like family. And they're always going over, hey, you know, they're always helping me out or whatever. And so one day I was like, you know what? The times I've gone to Walmart and had a bad experience, a real bad experience, what do? We go to the manager and we complain. But I got to thinking, I wonder how often a Walmart manager gets a compliment. So I made it a point. I'm going to walk all the way to the front of the store, find out who the manager is, and I want to compliment these guys back here because of what they mean to me. And so with our kids, we get on to them when they're not doing right, but we also need to get on to them in the other kind of way when they are doing good. Who in here is grown that still gets a lot of encouragement from their parents? Anybody know some of your parents are no longer? Look at the hands raised up. Praise God. Man, I'm like pushing 50. And I still, all the time, get encouragement from my parents. That is so important. And so let's pass it along the same way. We do it. We pour love into them. We pour the word of God into them. We do all this for them with the hopes that they produce fruit for God. That was our memory verse last month. You know, encouragement is kind of like fertilizer. It's like a great emotional growth hormone. My dad... one of the worst ideas he ever had. He'll tell you that. I'll tell you what, though, the results were incredible. But he said, hey, Ryan, he goes, come on, I want you to ride with me. We're going to go get some manure to put on the garden. So we loaded up in that old Chevy pickup truck, and we went to a chicken farm. Now, if you've never experienced the smell of a chicken farm, you haven't experienced the smell. I'm like, whoa. So my dad had him load up the back of the truck with chicken manure. I'm telling you, that smell stuck in my head for 3 weeks. You know, I suffer with sinus issues. I think it's somehow connected to that chicken manure. But my dad shoveled and shoveled and shoveled chicken manure all over that garden. And I'm telling you, I've never seen a garden like that in my life. I mean, it was the victory garden. But it was not worth it. It was not worth it. But pouring love and encouragement into our kids, they're worth it, aren't they? We need to pour all that we can into them. And then third and last, sometimes just like a tomato plant, when it comes to our kids, you just got to cage them. You got to put cages around them. Amen. Woo, glory, right? This old Southern church is, woo, glory, preacher, preach it. I used to preach at those churches a lot. Man, I love those people. They're like, come on home with some fried chicken afterwards, you know. And but sometimes you just got a cage. I'm not talking about literally with our kids. But when tomatoes begin to grow, the weight of the plant, especially once it starts getting fruit on it, it needs some support. And so we stake them, and then we put the little metal cage around them. It's for their own good, isn't it? So they don't fall over and break, and then all of a sudden now we're not going to get all that we want out of our tomatoes. But kids, like tomatoes, need support and boundaries. When I was 16 years old, and I was actually starting to grow, I was the shortest boy. Well, there was Billy. I forgot about Billy. Billy had me beat. But I was the second shortest boy in the largest high school in the state of Florida at the time. 9th through 12th grade, there was 4,200-something students at Orange Park High School. And so finally, the end of my junior year, I actually started to move past 5'1", and I was beginning my upward ascent. And I guess that when I didn't like the idea that Dad had, we were having a nice chat, my dad kind of moved real close to me, sort of about like this, and he's in a very serious way says, "Do you know whose name is on the mailbox?" And I realized right then, I think I'd pushed a little too far. Dad was caging me. He realized I needed to remember where my boundaries are. Boundaries protect kids from themselves. We're all prone to bad decisions, but kids are often prone to bad decisions. If they aren't given boundaries, they will not exercise self-control, and it will continue into adulthood, sexual promiscuity, bad debt. It's all around, isn't it? Because a lot of times it's because there were no boundaries. And there's boundaries. It protects them from the dangers outside. The last time I tried to grow tomatoes, I had this really great idea. I think I'm going to figure out how to whip these things. I decided I'm going to get these 5-gallon buckets and plant them all in 5-gallon buckets. And then I have we lived in a mobile home, double wide. Praise God. I think it was awesome. We built that raised porch. And I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to take these tomato plants, these 5-gallon buckets, and put them up here on this raised porch. So whatever's out there crawling around on the ground and all that other junk down in the ground that isn't right isn't going to mess with my tomato. I'm going to get the best potting soil, and I'm going to make this thing right. So those jokers are growing. They're going. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a man, you know. So we go on vacation, and we come back, and my tomato plants are decimated. I'm like, what in the world? There were these green worms on there. They're called hookworms. Who here's ever seen a hookworm? I've never seen a hookworm in my life. Where do these come from? They look like a stinking Satan spawn. They're like that big, and they're green, and they got this horn thing, you know? And they're just, I mean, I'm watching them live. There's, you know, there are all kinds of dangers out there in the world, things much worse than hookworms. So we need to put some boundaries in our kids' lives. And when they get out of bounds, we need to love them back onto the right place, the right path. Sometimes that means discipline. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your children, I love this, discipline your children while there is hope. There comes a point where we don't have that influence like we once did. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. When I was a kid, you just didn't talk back to my parents but one time. My parents are 71 now, and I think they can still take me. I believe it. You know, they put the fear of God into me, but they love me. So there's a respect there. I brought some weapons of mass destruction with me here this morning. They're on the floor. That was the first weapon of mass destruction. When I was a little guy, when I would get out of line and Mom started to move towards the refrigerator, there were things on top of that refrigerator I didn't want to see come off. Like some of my old toys, you know, the paddle ball. And I think Mom sometimes bought that thing so she'd have to go buy a paddle. Yeah, do it harder. More, more. As soon as the ball came off, all of a sudden it becomes something else, right? She'd go to the top of the refrigerator. When I was a little guy, now this thing's flimsy as could be. It was just a stinking little stick. But I knew Mom was in business and it was time to get back online. She never hurt me. But it got my attention. You know, now when I really got in trouble, she'd go to the bedroom as I got older. A lot of times it was just, I'm going to get this. I don't think she ever even hit me with it. But we need to make sure there are good boundaries. I remember when Hannah was, I think, about 6 years old, a lady was coming over to the church, from the church. She wanted to talk with Emily. You know, she was a young mom and herself and just wanted to talk, get some advice. And they were going to get on the four-wheeler and go off into the back 40, really the back 40, and talk. And Hannah just had to pitch a fit. She had to go. And finally, after Emily and I did everything we could do, honey, you're not going to go. I don't know where this came from, But I looked at her and I said, let me ask you something. You want the smooth side or the rough side? And this lady that was friends with Emily's, she just busted out laughing. Thank the Lord I didn't have to spank her or anything. I don't even remember if I ever spanked her with a belt. I don't think I did. I would have cried like a baby, and some of you know what I'm talking about. But discipline, good discipline, correct discipline, loving discipline has kept me and a lot of you out of the principal's office more than we should have been there. It kept us out of prison or who knows wherever else. But a healthy balance of love and discipline is a good, good thing. Proverbs 29:15 says, a rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your child and it will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Hebrews 12 gives a picture of God as a father and how he chastens us. And it tells us why he chastens us. He chastens us because he loves us and he wants to get us back to where we need to be. And so God's calling us to do the same thing that he himself does. So pour God into your kids, because if you pour God into your kids and you pour love into your kids, they are much more likely to do what Paul read as the command, to obey your parents. We want our kids to grow up holy, healthy, in relationships and hardworking and honoring God. But remember, we're in a serious battle because the world is against us. The devil's against us. All these things are against us. And as we close, Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. They're a gift. They're special. They deserve our attention. They deserve our love. We pour into them. A gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb, is a reward. Our kids need to see Jesus in us, because our greatest goal for our kids should be that they grow to have a deep desire to love and follow Jesus above all other things. Let's pray. Father, you are good. And Lord, as I know in my life, I have not always liked the discipline I've received, Lord. God, it was for my good. Lord, I thank you for a loving parents. I thank you for a loving church. I thank you for a loving wife. Thank you for friends that have loved me and poured into me and encouraged me. And Lord, it is through all these things, us doing our part to pour into others and to love them, and with our children to do the same and to discipline them, that, Lord, we begin to look more and more like your son. And Lord, that is the ultimate goal. So I pray today for all of us parents and grandparents and those that are here that are, have any investment in kids, that, Lord, they would take these words, God, from your word, God, this wisdom that you've imparted to us, and, Lord, to apply it. Lord, just help us to be the people you want us to be. Bless our church, God. We pray your mighty hand upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, maybe you're here and maybe God spoke to you about, man, you know what, I just need to tighten up some things in my grandparenting or parenting. Man, just take it home and make it happen. Maybe you're a guest today, or you someone that's been part of our church for a long time, and you've got the telling part down, but maybe it's the showing it through your life that God's convicted you of some things that need to be tweaked. Make that right with God. If you're here today, and if someone were to ask you, if you die today, where would you go? You're really not sure? We want you to know for sure. I am going to heaven when I die. Not because I'm a good man, not because I'm a member of this church, not because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because I receive what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago. He died and he was buried and he rose from the dead. If you're here today and you believe that, you believe that Jesus died for your sins and he was buried and rose from the dead, and you're willing to repent and come follow him, you can be saved. So if you're here today, you need to give your life to Christ. Come and say, I'm ready to follow Christ. I want to find out what that means. I want to be a part of this church. Whatever it is, maybe you just want to come pray. Maybe you want to pray for some families that you know that are struggling and hurting right now. Whatever it is, let's stand as we sing and you come. As we sing and you come. As we sing and you come.